Okay, as I said, my name is Milan Gabor. I come from Slovenia, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the ELK visualization, especially about the Wi-Fi. So you're going to see some pretty interesting stuff. I could choose another title of my presentation. I actually did this, so you can get from a packet to the real person, so you only catch one packet on a Wi-Fi, and you can identify the persons from it. Or building a cheap Wi-Fi IDS with Elasticsearch, Kibana, and Logstash. So actually, who am I? I think I qualified for this conference. Why? Because I got up today at 5 a.m. I drove to Vienna for 2.5 hours. Then I was flying for 1.5 hours, and then I was driving by bus. Then I was walking from Darmstadt Hauptbahnhof to my hotel and to here. So I think I did qualify for this. I'm still alive. I'm still standing. So besides hacking, I also do drones. So this is one of my pictures from last Sunday. I build them. I fly them. I crash them. So I even fly and sniff Wi-Fi for some customers that they demand, especially if they have big holes. You know, you cannot walk inside, but you can fly with over them with a drone. And actually, I own a company, pretty small. We have 5 employees. And this is the locations that we have been giving presentation last year. From Vegas to Paris, China, Paris, Serbia, Austria. But this is the first time I am doing it in Germany. So I'm still aiming at the CCC Congress sometime. And last year, if you're going to go Google, we did some great stuff with the mobile application. So you could actually inject yourself into running mobile application on Android and play the games and win and do some crazy stuff. So it's on our GitHub if somebody wants to take a look. Okay, so what we're going to talk today? We're going to talk about some hackers' problems, hacker solutions, about ELK stack, aircrack, and visualization. And I think most of the time we will see the demo. So you're going to see what's actually possible to build in really short amount of time. And maybe some get crazy ideas for the end. So first, my question, who has been playing with Elasticsearch already? Okay. Heavily or just scratching the surface? Scratching the surface. Okay, great. So what's the problem with... today we're going to talk about the Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi. Is somebody penetration testing? Who's doing the penetration test? Or who's sniffing the Wi-Fi? Okay, great. What's the problem? Do you have any problems when you're sniffing the Wi-Fi or doing the penetration test with Wi-Fi? Or not? Yeah, too much data. What do you run normally? Aircrack NG tools? Then you have just terminal. Okay, you can put out the JSON, and not the JSON, XML or Kismet or XML. But if you're sniffing a lot of, let's say, in a quite big time frame, then you get a lot of data, right? And you have to manually dig. So that's the problem. So we're going to go through how to get from that page. Now, this is, you know, what is this? From error dump. From this to this. So we're going to be playing with your phones and your packets that your phones are sending at that moment. I've been collecting it now for the whole, almost all day at the aircraft of in Vienna, aircraft in Frankfurt, already here. So we can see if we can get some interesting data out of it. But before, what's actually there that we can do? There is one tool that can bring PCAP to XML from Vivek Ramachandran. He's famous on his SecurityTube videos and other assignments. But he gets this kind. This is the best representation what he can get. So he's actually putting in SQL, SQLite database and just grepping and learning and getting the data out. So we were asking ourselves this year in the spring, can we do a little bit better? You know, it's the same question that not only the hackers, but also ethical hackers and also the programmers and other type of people are asking. And we said, can we do it? Can we make it better? And the result is, yes, we can do it. And with no line of code. Who's doing the programming? Developer, are any developers here? Okay. Would be that nice to get this great graphs and all the data without single line of code? Yes? It's not totally true. You don't need to program the visualization, but we did some changes to the error correct, but I'm going to cover that later. So actually, where did we start? So the first couple of things that when if we want to get into it, what do we need? Hardware and software. So what's on this hardware side? Definitely, you know this one. If you're doing some kind of Wi-Fi, you have alpha cards or some other. No? No? Yes. Why? Yeah, and they're quite strong, right? Although you should adjust the power of it because it's illegal to run over 100 milliwatts. I guess it's the same in Germany, the same in also in the European Union, but they can have 1 or even 2 watts, I think the last one. So actually, Wi-Fi card, I have it here. One of my cards is somewhere hidden in my backpack. I can bring it up later. Then you need a power. Why do you need a power? To bring some powerful computers to do the analysis. And big screen. You're going to see this later, why it's important to have a big screen. Because otherwise, you cannot visualize. Two sessions before, I've been asking the guy what kind of hardware did he use when he has been analyzing the data from trains here around. Said, yeah, well, he has some cloud stuff. But I found also that you can buy really cheap hardware on eBay. You know, this is twin quad core. It's kind of old processor, but it's okay with 64 gigs of RAM for 293 euros. So it's kind of cheap if you want to run big calculation or big transformation of the data. So software is the next part. Well, you need operating system, Linux, Mac, Windows, whatever you need. But you need to keep in mind that you might get some challenges, especially with one component, because it's not built for all kind of systems. But we will talk about this also later. Okay, and after that, when you have the operating system, so the hardware and the software, then actually what do you need? It's two things. First is the environment, and the second thing is the data. Environment is Elk Stack. So Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana for visualization, and you need some kind of data that you're going to be putting into this kind of Elk Stack. So this is the basic, let's say, high-level architecture. You have the shippers or agents. These agents are kind of, it can be the PCs, it can be the virtual machines, it can even be the Raspberry Pis. So you can have the Raspberry Pi with two alphas, so two wireless connections. Why has anybody tried to have Raspberry Pi with more than two cards? Any guess why? It's actually running out of power because the Raspberry Pi doesn't have enough power to power more than two alpha cards. Here are the agents. So here you're going to have the Logshipper, the Logstash forwarders. Here you have a Logstash and Elasticsearch. And here you have your GUI, so which will actually get the transformation data and show you inside your web browser. So I don't want to go through all the steps because it's really nice written on that web page. It's on DigitalOcean, how to install the Elasticsearch Logstash in Kibana. And it's really, really well written. And you have the all steps that you need to get through. It's not that kind of complicated, because if you're running a Ubuntu or something kind of similar system, Linux distribution, it's pretty trivial. And if you just follow these steps, you're almost ready to go. So for the building the Elk stack, this is the perfect way. I know there are some other tutorials or how-tos how to build it, but it's not the case how to be gonna go through the steps. So first component, it's a Logstash. Actually, it's a component for receiving, processing, and forwarding logs. And it has different kind of settings. So for input, so where are your logs coming from? Are they coming from syslog? Are they coming from files? Is this connection encrypted? Then you have a filter where you do all the transformation of the data that it's coming inside, and then you have output. Output in this case is going to be the Elasticsearch. So this kind of configuration files, you have a file input, you can have a file, you can have a TCP listener, you can have SQL, or you can have also data coming from IRC or Twitter or some other feeds. They have filter when you do something with your data, or maybe put it in a JSON if they're not already there. And then you have the output, so you have the where your data is going to be going. There are some other stuff in Logstash configuration. There are already some kind of, templates for different type of the data. So, for example, you can also have syslog automatically parsed or other type of information that's getting inside. So, and at the end, see this kind of stuff. This is a representation how to change the IP number into the Logstash. The other part of the Logstash, family, is Logstash Forwarder. You don't want to have the Logstash installed on any machine. So on these agents, you just need a Logstash Forwarder. It's actually an agent. You have already some pre-built images for some platforms. There are no Logstash Forwarder if you want to run it on a Raspberry Pi. But you can do with some other solutions. Also, it's a problem with Windows, with getting the Windows events. So, for example, if you want to have different type of logs, you can use the NX Logs CE. Or for the Raspberry Pi, we have used the Beaver. It's actually the Python log forwarder. So it sends the logs to the central Logstash. Or you can use just with the syslog. It can be also fine, but you need to tweak a little bit more the configuration. So the next component is Elasticsearch. So what kind of it? It's not very clear. It's SQL, it's NoSQL, or something else. Well, actually, it's actually distributed search engine. It's not the how we are used to SQL oriented, but it's more the documented, and it has really good APIs. So over the port HTTP port 9200, it's for the it's really has good API exposed. So if you ask kind of Elasticsearch for something, you get this kind of answer. So you get the documents with a score and with the hints, and also this detail in a JSON. There are some other developments with Elasticsearch at the moment. The problem with Elasticsearch is that they made it, they created it, but they didn't think about the security. So they are fixing it now. First of all, you have alerts that they're coming in the new versions. And the next thing is the data shield. So actually it's authentication for the Elasticsearch. And some new stuff, it's also the packet beat. So you can actually go on a network layer and I can go already parse some kind of network packets there. Just one reminder, if you want to play with these two or three features, it's not free anymore. So they are not free. You can get free for 30 days, but afterwards you have to pay for the support. So they kind of went in this way with their business model. So the third component, it's actually Kibana, and it takes this Elasticsearch results and it gives you a graphical presentation. So this is actually what's sent from the browser to the Kibana, to the Elasticsearch indexer, and then you get the back data, and from this, you get this in your browser. So you're going to see that this... Does anybody has idea what kind of this would mean in Wi-Fi networks? Any guess? Does have meaning at all? What do you think? I promise you in 30 minutes, you're going to be able to read this. And you're going to be able to see, oh, that's my phone. You know, connecting to that Wi-Fi networks. Okay, as I mentioned, some issues that we ran into. There's lack of security, as I mentioned. So if you want to have authentication and you want to have all the, let's say, enterprise features, you have to pay. Constantly, it's heavily developed with Kibana and version now 4. There have been a lot of changes. And they are lacking some kind of functionality still. You cannot do some kind of really advanced URL clicking. So if you want to click on something that is going to open in a new window or stuff like that. Okay, so we have the environment. So we have the Elasticsearch. We have the log stash, so we can now ship the logs. But still, we said we need two things. One is environment, the other is data. So how do we get the data? The best tool that you can find, it's still ArrowCrackNG. So Arrow Dump is the best way to get the data for free. You can have the PCAP cards. They're going to cost around 700, 800 euros. And software around 3,000 euros if you want to have enterprise solution. But free, definitely ArrowCrackNG is the best one. The only problem that we run into is that ArrowCrack doesn't spit out the JSON. Why would we need JSON? Because Elasticsearch and Logstash and everything, especially Elasticsearch, needs JSON if you want to do some stuff. We have been tested. We did test a lot of things. So to parse the output from ArrowCrack, it didn't go well. So we tried to parse the XML output. It didn't work also. So actually, we did go and change a little bit of the source code. We introduced so the ArrowCrackNG can spit out the JSON output in a log file, the same as the XML or the other stuff. So we are still considering if we're going to contribute to main branch, because our code at the moment is still, let's say, not well structured and it's a little bit hacked.
Aus welchem Raum ist das? Da hängt eigentlich an der Wand so ein Ladegerät. Oh.
Okay. So this is the outcome from the error dump. Okay. So you have everything. You have the environment, you have the error dump, you have the data, and then it's time for the demo. So everything that you put inside, so from the error dump here, you get this blank Kibana dashboard, and you have no idea what to look. Now you have the data. You see, this is the data actually coming live, also live coming now in from the last hour. So you see, so we get this data from the error dump that's running on my machine. So this is our actually original message. And we parse it, and we get the all information in a field. So you see that last data was that's, does somebody recognize this SSC ID? Yeah, it's the conference SSI ID. Actually, it's client connected to the to here. So this is the data that we have. So in February we have been at this point. So we had the environment and we had the data. But afterwards, you know, it's like, so now what? You know, you have a large amount of data, everything that you can gather, and this is gathered from this. You know, so if you go through a terminal window, this is what you see. You know, you see this different access points. You see the clients there are not associated. That's why they are beaking out the sending out the probes. And you have the clients connected to the 67 somewhere here. So to this one. So you have the data, and what then? Then we started to play with this data. So if we want to see, you know, it's really easy to see. Do you wanna get a number how many users I can see from my antenna, so from my Wi-Fi at the moment they are connected to the conference Wi-Fi? Do you think it's hard? So let's say we want to have station MAC. So we want to have the station MAC, so the addresses, and let's say we want to have the SSC ID. So for this one, and actually we already have the users. So we actually have the phones that are connected to this one. But the best part of this is that you can create a dashboard. So this is the data that's actually coming from the Wi-Fi networks. And you see that these are the strongest with the strongest signal, so my card can get it. This is the representation of the encryption types of the Wi-Fi networks around us. So they have majority of them. They are open. This is the conference, and we see that we have around 10 SSC IDs. So Wi-Fi names, and 10 of Wi-Fi names. It has 27 physical access points. So because the main Wi-Fi for the conference is actually hidden, it's using more than one physical access point. And at the moment, for the last hour, I have been noticing that 112 phones, gadgets, notebooks, packets has been flying around the air at that time. So you can also see the top clients connected to the SSID. This one, they're not connected to anywhere. So they're connected over the 3G, 4G, whatever, using a cell provider. So majority are connected here. There are some users connected here. There are some users to other Wi-Fi. So we can also do analysis. What kind of the access points are there? So Juniper is here, Ubiquiti. So actually, this is kind of Eduroam and conference Wi-Fi's. And we can also see the client types. So majority of them, for the last hour, they're using kind of Intel Wi-Fi or Intel or network connections, LG phones, and there is an Apple. So if we change this for the whole day, So for the Wi-Fi for the whole day, so the day so far, so all my collections from the wireless airport in Vienna, airport in Frankfurt, you're gonna see that actually Apple is winning. So majority of the users that I got with my antenna, so it's Apple is winning quite a lot against the other ones. So we can do the other interesting stuff, but let's say we're gonna see. Just go for last 4 hours. Maybe you can get. Maybe I got your packets. We also have some other stuff that's actually in there. So here are the probes that your phones have been sending out, beaconing out. So you see, this is the most. These are the phones that sent most of the probes. So this phone sent 23 probes. So I know that he has 23 Wi-Fi connections stored in his phone. So Iderom, so actually we can tell. Can we profile a little bit from this? So if he has connected to the Iderom, so he must be a student or a teacher. Because otherwise you cannot get a Iderom account, right? Okay, Camp 20, Freifunk, the Black Gate, Göttingen, Freifunk. Okay, we know that he's been to Göttingen at least once. Or he might live there. So there are some kind of, German, but I guess these are the Wi-Fi that he has been going, or the maybe the some coffee shops or some other stuff. So also with the other one. I had the client once when I was doing a presentation. I had one guy that actually he was sending more than 100 probes. So if you plot this Wi-Fi connection on the Google Maps, you can actually track where he moves. So also with greater probability, you're going to see. So you see also here the number of users connected to the Wi-Fi. So we can tell a little bit how much people is actually at the conference this year. Okay, we can little calculate that some of the users, they are using one or two or maybe three devices, but you can see the number of users actually connected to each Wi-Fi. You see this blue one is MRCVM, this one is Iderom, and this green is actually users, they are not connected anywhere. So with this kind of GUI, it's actually really also easy if you want to filter out. So we have here the connections. So if we, let's say that I don't want to see the users, that they are not connected anywhere. So now I negate this. So So I only have the users that's actually connected to some kind of Wi-Fi networks. So, and this kind of data has been done without any line of code. So if we just return to the dashboard, let's go back. I promise you that I'm going to explain this pie chart. This pie chart here. Let's see it a little bit closer. Oh, it's a little too much. Let's say that we want to have only 10 top domains, 10 top, where is it now? What did I do? So you're going to see that this one, let's say for last hour, it's going to be a little faster. And we hide the legend, so we're going to have the biggest one. Would you guess which Network is the official network for this conference. Any guess? Huh? Green, this one? Let's see if this one is. Now this is the raw, so actually these are not connected anywhere. So it's this one because it has the most of the users. So we actually, what in this graph, we have SSC IDs of the networks, wireless networks. So we have MRCD15, we have Fritzbox somewhere around here, ECB, HDA, we have Ethereum. So these are the students that actually can use Ethereum, VLAN, some other stuff. So this is the first circle. So SSIDs. The next circle are physical access points. So as I said, you have SSC ID of MRCD15, and this has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anyone from organizers here? No? Do they have around 8 Wi-Fi? You can ask them later. If they have around 8 physical IDs, how can we see that they have different kind of MAC addresses? So on this, we have clients. So you see on this one, so one client with this MAC address, so maybe a phone, maybe a tablet, maybe a PC, it's connected to this physical Wi-Fi adapter. It's actually on this SSC ID. So this is our third circle. And the fourth circle, if we're going to get here, but let's say we can go also this. The fourth circle, it's, if we take this one, so it's connected to RMR, to this one, MAC address, to this Wi-Fi station. This is his MAC address, and we are seeing that he's using LG phone. What do you think, how hard is make this kind of a graph? How much time it's going to take to do this kind of stuff? Any guess? 5 hours, 10 hours, 100,000 lines of code, or 10 clicks? Huh? 15 clicks. Okay, you can count it. Okay, let's see. Let's make some visualization since the guy before, he stole my 30 minutes. So let's do the pie chart from a new search. So we're going to just go for the Wi-Fi. And here we're going to see that we're going to go for unique count. So unique count, this means that we're going to count unique data of your mobile phones in a database. So, and we're going to sort this. So we're going to take out the station MAC raw. So we're going to have all your phones. So no duplicates of the phones is going to be inside. So this is the first step. So we take this, and then we start to slice this circle a little bit around. So we take the term. So we're going to go for ESID. ESID is name of the Wi-Fi network. So let's say we're going to go with 5 or 10 networks. And if we apply, we're going to see that actually we got the ESS IDs. And you see with size of this pie chart, you can also have the numbers that are actually connected. So majority of the phones or devices, they were not connected to any Wi-Fi networks. The second one, this is the official conference Wi-Fi network, and the third one should be Ethereum, if I'm right. Yes, Ethereum and some other Wi-Fi networks. So we have now sorted SSIDs. Then we're going to split this with some other aggregation. So we're going to also split the sizes, and this we want to have MAC addresses of this access points. So now we're going to go to the BSS IDs, and let's say that's one named Wi-Fi network, it shouldn't have more than 10, let's say, physical Wi-Fi networks. So you see that here we have official conference Wi-Fi, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of the devices in last hour. So then we're going to go a little bit further and we're going to slice again. So with the terms, so now we want to have the actual mobile phones or tablets or PCs or notebooks. They're connected to this. And we say, let's say again, about 10, let's say top 10. You see, and here in the third row, around the circle, we actually have the MAC addresses of the phone, and additional stuff that we have for this one, we can also see what kind of manufacturer. So if they have Windows Phone, if they have Apple, have it, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4 rows. Who was counting the clicks? 15 or 10? Something like that, right? And you already have this. So you have the Wi-Fi networks, you have the MAC addresses, you have the phones that are connected, and you have the manufacturers of the phones. So you can see really quick, just plug in your Wi-Fi network card, and as soon you get this kind of representation. So there are some other stuff that you can be looking into. So we saw this one. So clients, they are connected. How many clients? And this is kind of stream that's actually going inside. So you see what's actually the clients are sending. So this is for access points. See, this is access point that has opened. It's on channel 6, and this is kind of power that we are getting and the manufacturer of the device. So for every access point, you have this one, and also other access points that are visible from this location. So see Fritzbox, I guess this is somewhere outside. See Ethereum, they're using the Juniper networks. And here below, there are clients. So you see the clients are beaconing out the Wi-Fi networks. See, this one is OnePlus phone that's actually sending out his Wi-Fi, stored Wi-Fi addresses. I have idea to connect this one. So this kind of data they are getting, so to plot the on a Google map, so the location of that Wi-Fi that they have been visiting, that would be really interesting. But as I said, at the moment, you cannot do this with Kibana, but things are moving, so it might be that somewhere in the near future, this also could be possible. See, sometimes there are quite interesting SSIDs. You can find it here. So this is Ethereum hotspots. Mainz Camp 2015. Was that CCC Camp? So I know that guy. I don't know him. But I know he has been to the CCC camp this year, right? And let's see if we can see with one click. So this one, what kind of phone is he using? Let's say that this filter, I don't need it, but I want to have his MAC address. So filtered. So he's using Motorola. So I don't know his name, but I know where he's moving. And he has been to a CC camp, and he uses Motorola. Could we locate that guy? Could we find him? Huh? Oh, he downstairs? Yeah, might be, because it's getting out. So, we have been also trying to play with the movement. So, because with the dashboard, you can see also the power of the clients they're sending. So we have been trying, but at the moment, it's still not working. So you can actually see that when the clients were moving inside the building. So because the power of the signal they're sending, their phones are sending to the access point, it can be determined that they're moving away from you, they are coming closer, this kind of stuff. Okay. With this one, you can do a lot of more stuff. You know, I was just showing you just some, things that we managed to get in a couple of months. But I guess there are some creative guys that could be using it or abusing this kind of the data visualization to get, let's say, to attract people or even more. During this our research, we run into some kind of problems. The first problem is Java. So if you're using Java, then you must be ready to use some kind of lot of RAM. So this is all the results that you see at the moment. You know, this is my Java virtual machine. It has like 3.6 gig of RAM. Now, if I start doing something with the GUI, refresh, you're gonna see that both of the processor is gonna go up. But now I have pretty low subset just for the last hours of data. If I would go for one day, this would jump a little bit, even a little bit more. So if I go from the day so far, so all the data from today, I see that all the processors were 100%. So the Java might be a problem. So be aware of that. Also, where, you know, firing up or collecting this data, where would be interesting? Definitely this kind of security conference. It's a good way. Or airport. Today, when I was waiting for my bus to get me here at the Terminal 1, you know, a lot of people were moving by me, you know, and a lot of their packets were moving by me, or my wireless card captured them. There are some crazy ideas also, not only for the good guys, but also maybe for the bad guys or even law enforcement stuff. Because there are a lot of possibilities that you can do. You know, just with the clicks. If you have once, you have the data inside, there are only clicks of the filters or visualization of the data representation away. There's no programming for the GUI. Sometimes it's good one, sometimes it's bad one, this option. And as I said, you can also do the person identification. I was giving presentation to students in June, and his phone was beaconing out, sending the probes. And actually, in one of the probes, it was some phone number. You know, if you want to use the internet, call this number. You know, it was... And I called his number and his phone ring. You know? So actually, with one packet, we could find the person. But also can be used as a Wi-Fi IDS. So if you're monitoring your enterprise or your school or your home network, you can see if you know that in-house you have like 5 wireless devices connected. And if some 6th device is connected... to your Wi-Fi, you know that something might be strange. So it could be also used as a simple Wi-Fi intrusion detection. It can be used as a both sides, so as a hackers. You know, when we go on a mission, you know, sometimes since I'm driving a black car, you know, normally I put big antennas on my car if we're gonna drive to, I don't know, company or target that we are targeting. It's really strange if you see 3 or 4 hackers in a car, you know, it's just like with open notebooks, you know, it's just like slamming. So the approach that we are taking now, we just bring one laptop with 4 wireless network cards. Why do you think 4 or even more? Because what is doing my... That wasn't me. Okay. What is actually my, you're gonna see, since I have now one card, what's that's actually my Wi-Fi card now doing at the moment? It's hopping the channels. So I'm on the channel 10, now I'm channel 5, so I cannot get all the packets. If I have three cards, I can set it on channel 1, 3, 7, and 11, and I can cover almost whole spectrum of the Wi-Fi with the packets. So with the 4, I can get almost 99% of the 99% of the packets if you're doing this. So this is also for the red team, so for the attackers. But also blue team, if you set up kind of Wi-Fi in your home network or in your company network or at the faculty, you get a real quick view of what's actually happening in Wi-Fi spectrum. This is, I mentioned already, it can be used also as a Wi-Fi IDS, and it can be also used as a stalking. You know? So if you know where people are, you know, from this kind of beaking out the networks, if I know that where you are eating, where you are living, you know, what's your normal movement, where you spent, I don't know, Friday's evening eating, I can be there. If I'm an attacker or a stalker or something like that. So it can be used also in this kind of scenario. Okay. We reached the end. So I know it's late. Any questions, maybe? I know it's a fast one, but I don't want to steal any more time. You're the next one? No. They're waiting outside. Okay. Okay. Are there any questions? There are not... At the moment, there is no blog post. It's going to be a blog post on our webpage, how to bring this whole thing together. But we are gladly to share. If somebody asks, how did we do it, or even mail the source code for error dump, we will happily do. We will happily mail it. So any questions, maybe? At least one, so I can go back to Slovenia. You know, I got one question, yes. For this one, it's almost normal that it's supported on Linux or whatever, because the problems are you need special kind of card if you want to inject the packets. Here we are not doing anything. We are not injecting. We are not doing this. We are just putting the card into monitoring mode and then bringing out the packets what's actually flowing there. But it might be interesting if you have the other card and drop all the users from the Wi-Fi, because then you get the more packets from the probes, so you can be even more effective. So you can start deauthenticating the users on the Wi-Fi. Actually, on this one, you know, just because you send only one packet, and after the Wi-Fi specification needs to be connection needs to be dropped and sent again, it can be reconnected. So you can just go and drop all, and then hope and. I hadn't planned to do this, but when I was practicing, it wasn't enough time to do that. But you can play this on your own. You just deauthenticate, send all the packets. There are scripts on GitHub. You know, just start the script in Python. It said, okay, I want to deauthenticate all users on this Wi-Fi, and it drops all the users. And then when the phone is going to start beaconing out, and until he finds the... it's Wi-Fi network that TTA can connect, then you have even more. But since this is invasive, I didn't, you know, it's a different, you know, it's not Slovenia, so I want to go home tomorrow, you know, so I didn't do this. But in a real case, when we are attacking the company with a contract, we are also doing this, because it can get even more data. And especially, it's the same thing if you want to grab the VPA handshake for the for brute forcing VPA passwords, then you need to do the same. Or wait, the client reconnects again, then you steal the VPA handshake. Yes. You can get the beacons. It depends, but it also depends of type of the phone, type of the Android, because some of them they're beaconing more, some of them are beaconing less. So it depends. With this one, maybe I can show you with the open network. With an open network, you don't get. With an open networks, you don't get only MAC addresses, but you can get also their IP addresses as well in frames. So you can have the even more information. So you can have their IP addresses, who is connected to there. So you can do the scanning there. But you don't have IP addresses if you're on VPA or VPA2 protected networks. These IP addresses are only on open networks. So you get this additional information. So it could be a little bit, you have one information more. For that's why open networks are more fun. Any other question? What? Yes, you could do this. Yeah, well, with the power, but it's about three antennas. But it's a little bit. We get this kind of request, but also, but very seldom. So it's. Yeah, you need very very quick, especially if he moves, and there are some tricks, but it's not that easy. You know, it's just like this. But in this case, if you're just listening, nobody knows that you're there. You've just put in a monitoring mode. Nobody knows that you're doing some Wi-Fi scanning. And these logs can get really can get really huge. So yes, I know. No, it's we almost. I started also at 8:30. So. Okay, so you see that for the last hour or for the last 2 hours, it's like 100 and, no, and this one is 37 max for 1 hour logs. Filling into the Elasticsearch, and Elasticsearch has several million of documents there. So, but you can tune it. So, and the other one way is also if you have the Raspberry Pi with the UMTS modem, or with a notebook, you just bring these sensors or somewhere out, and you can have the results in your data center. So you don't have to be actually there. You just send somebody. He's just walking through the center or university or airport, and you get the data in your data, and you can analyze it from your office. So it's really nice, especially if you're sending over the OpenVPN with compression. You can really bring down the volume of the data that they're sent to the center. Okay, some other question? If not, I thank you very much for staying with me until 9:30 and enjoy the rest of the conference. Oh, maybe one thing. I saw that actually on the webpage of the conference at the presentation title, it's actually a feedback form. If somebody wants to have, fill it out, I would be really grateful so I can do it better next time. So, thanks.